unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. From that particular scripture this morning, Father, we want this morning, church, we want to use for a subject, godliness is profitable. It has been said that every man has a price. And for that price, one can be persuaded to turn against that which he knows to be right and turn to that which he knows is wrong. Take the case of someone who is in a trusted position, say in the government, but for the right price, they will sell top government secrets. Or that of a person who will sacrifice all they have at the right enticement. It even happens in the church world. Men who were great Bible believers, but for a smooth saying, have left the church to taste the world of what their little tiny minds believe is better than what they know is truth. There is nothing greater in this world than serving the Almighty God when it comes to religion. Serving God is spoken of in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. There is nothing better when the church folk act like church folk. And you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we don't seem like we're serving the same God. And I'm not talking about anybody here, so don't nobody get all bent out of shape. But if the shoe fits you, I always tell you, just put it on. But sometimes we don't act like we are serving the same God. We may be in the right church, but we don't always act like the right people. This text today speaks of life now and the life which is to come. For the text says in verse number 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So when we talk about this life, so many people are so wrapped up in this life, they are forgetting to prepare for the aftermath. There are those who would like to, who would, if you listen to them, persuade others to think that being a Christian and serving God is the worst thing one can do. They tell you that this life, and after it's over, that's it, it's over. There is nothing else. There's nothing to come after this life. But we as Christians, we know better. We know that the Bible tells us that there is something else to come. Just notice, if you will, what the text says. It speaks of not only this life, but it speaks of that which is the life that of that which is to come. Anyone in their right mind can tell you there is not truth to that thinking. If it were true, would not the rich man in Luke chapter 16, around about verse number 28, would he have tried to get a message back to his five brothers to warn them not to come to where he was? Why would he want to let them come to where he was if he could help it? Because he knew that they needed to repent. Probably because they lived a ragged life just like he lived. Probably because they wasn't living right in the sight of God. We understand it is profitable to serve God at all points in one's life. Beginning from our youth all the way to and through our old age. In our youth, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 1, we are told to remember the Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Some young folk are too busy trying to find themselves, only to find out when they do find themselves, they no longer have the vitality to serve God. For they have used up their youth on vanities. They have spent the better part of their lives searching for what we already know that is already out there to dedicate our lives to the Lord. It is profitable to serve God in our youth as well as in our old age. You know, when you get into old age, something happens to most of us as we approach old age. As we approach old age, we watch the dwindling of what we used to know as life to what it's going to become. We watch our youth as it suddenly just seems to just float away from us. We watch everything as we remember our youth, but the Bible tells us to remember our Creator in the days of our youth, not wait until we get old to think about God. But then, life is now troubled with sickness when we get old. And I know what somebody may say. Somebody may say, well, Brother Carter, I'm old, but I'm not sick. Well, just hang on for a little while. You just stay right where you are, and sickness surely shall soon find you. You just wait, and God will work with you. But I got news for you. If you are righteous, if you are godly, and you serve the Lord in the way He wants you to, God will help you get through whatever crisis comes our way. And I want to tell you this before I go any further. I want you to know this fact. God will not be mocked. So be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, so shall he reap, according to Galatians 6 and verse number 8. Though it's profitable to serve God in old age too, for He blesses those who are righteous. And one of my favorite scriptures for that is Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 31, where He says, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. That means your hair has turned. That means your hair is now gray and you're old in age, but God will still protect you if you learn to serve Him in the right way. So even though one may spend his youth searching for himself, he can still serve God when he gets old. It's not too late. Somebody said, well, I thought that there was a time when God would cut me off. Well, I tell you something. Do you remember Moses? How old was Moses before he was called to serve God? Moses was 80 years old, church. 80 years old. So it's profitable to serve God from our youth on up to our old age. It's even profitable to serve God at death. Death is never a subject that people like to discuss, especially when it comes to talking about death for themselves. But I'm of the persuasion that if life is worth planning for, so must we plan for death, because it is a natural progression of life that death shall come. It is a successful end to all of our trials and tribulation. The word death is recorded in 45 of the 66 books of the Bible. That's over 50% of the Bible. Now, one of my favorite texts related to death can be found in Psalms number 116, about verse number 15, where it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. So I know we're all going to die, whether you are a Christian or whether you are not. Precious in the sight of God is the death of His saints. This lets us know that it is profitable to serve God and to be called His saints. Equally as impressive is another familiar text in Psalms chapter 23. But I pulled out just one verse, Psalms 23 and verse number 4, if you will. The Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, I want you to notice how personal David got when he wrote this. He wrote the entire psalm in a personal matter, but in particular in verse number 4, he says, I and me, four times there, leading me to believe that he had a personal relationship with God. He said, I walk, but I will not fear, for thou art with me, thou comfort me. All of this makes the walk to be worthy of walking with God if you don't have to fear. You know, many folk walk through life and they're afraid. They're afraid of everything. They're afraid of everything because they don't know the Master. They don't know the same God that we serve. They don't know the God that Paul was talking about as he spoke to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Do you remember? Do you remember, if you are a Bible student, you should remember in Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, beginning around about verse number 55, where Stephen testified in his dying moment The Bible said he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly into the heavens and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Was it profitable for Stephen to serve God in his life and even now at his death? You better believe it was. Because I want you to watch what the Bible says in verse 59 and verse 60 of that same text. And they stoned Stephen. But watch a man of God how he accepts death. He called upon God in verse number 60, saying, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep. He went on to his death because he knew that God was with him. Isn't that right, church? But I tell you, it's good to be with the Lord even in the very end. It's very profitable. We have the opportunity to be just like Stephen. We have the opportunity to be full of the Holy Spirit so that when we come to die, knowing that I have served God like He asked, that might give you hope in the future. That gives you hope that you have a God that will go all the way with you. You know, it's good when you die, because what happens when you die? We roll you into a church or a funeral home, and somebody stands up and says a few things, and then somebody whom that person hasn't seen in about 30 years will come and tell you all about their childhood, but yet they didn't stay with them through their adulthood. But they come and tell you all these stories, but none of those stories can raise you up from the casket. But I tell you something, Jesus Christ has the power not only to be with you at death, but He'll go all the way to the grave with you. It's good to be godliness. It's good to have godliness in us. It's good to, if we can have godliness in our hour of death, then once we are called, that we might hear God say the words of Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 25. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, but I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to have the joy of the Lord, church? It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Not only in death, but also it's profitable to have godliness throughout eternity. The text speaks of bodily exercise profiting us little. In other words, we must not get so wound up in the vanities of life that we forget the spiritual or the godly things of life. If one chooses to be a vegetarian, let's say, and I'm not knocking anybody who eat whatever you want to be, but if one chooses to be a vegetarian, or he doesn't eat that kind of food or this kind of food, well, that's all right. That's all right, but you've got to keep God in the plan just the same. Now, you can be a vegetarian if you want to. You cannot eat meat if you don't want to. I don't have a problem with this, but don't tell me I can't. But then, when you think about it, church, a diet free of this kind of food or that food group, and that makes you a better person if you feel like it. But if you are without God, you are still overweight because your life is overweighted with sin. So I want you to watch the text once again. For bodily exercise does what? Profiteth little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now, that's right now, and that which is to come. So God can be with us if we are godly all throughout our lives. So then, if one would learn to sacrifice things in his life, he will find profit in his life, some say. If one decides, I'm not going to live as high on the hog as folk tell me to live, then that's all right. But if you put God behind all of you, all of your life, and be godly, then God will be with you. Do you remember the story in 2 Samuel chapter number 14, starting around about verse number 25, where the Bible describes the beauty of Absalom? Now, ladies, you want to hear about a fine man. His picture must be used under the heading of beauty, because the Bible says from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head, there was no blemish in him. The Bible even records how that every year when he would go and have his hair cut, it would weigh about 5 pounds. But he still looked good. But you know what? Even as good as he looked and how he probably took care of himself, he still had to die and he still has to face an eternity just like all of us. When you consider the bodies that we live in, no matter how great they may be, if they do not serve God, there is no profit in not serving God. When we think about eternity, we must think about Jesus Christ. According to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and about verse number 16, it talks about the return of Christ, where it says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. But I want you to listen to who shall rise first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. That means that if one did not die in Christ, he will not rise in Christ. Even Job in the Old Testament spoke of Jesus in Job chapter 19, around about the 25th verse. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, that even though this old body shall be destroyed by sin, by skin worms, yet in my flesh I shall see God. I shall see him for myself. My eyes shall behold and not another. Oh, anybody who's under the impression that I'll miss Jesus, I'll miss the Lord, I'm just going to see somebody that may look like the Lord. But Job said, behold, he will see him for himself and he won't see another. There's no generic version of Christ. There's only the true Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the text says, but bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having a promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. That same Jesus that Job spoke of is still in the picture today. That same Jesus is going to judge us in the end. So when you think about it, church, when you think about it, the same Jesus is the one that we can serve while we yet live. He is the only Jesus, the only one that has hope for tomorrow. Now, I'm going to give you a moment, but I want you to go over with me to John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, and if you don't have your Bible with you, that's okay. I'm going to read it for you anyway. But in John chapter 5, starting at verse number 25, I want you to hear the words of Jesus. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. That's Jesus. They that hear shall live. They that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall do what? Shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of what? Damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. It's all right, church, to serve God. It's all right to call on the name of Jesus. It's all right to be a Christian. There's nothing wrong with being a Christian. There's something wrong with not being a Christian. I believe today that the question raised by Jesus in the long time ago rings just as true, if not truer than ever before, in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 26, the Bible asks the question. It asks two questions actually, but it's all related to one thing. It says, "What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" In other words, it's restated: "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" In the end, we shall only profit if we are godly. If we are godly, we shall profit. And if a man gains this entire world, becomes the most powerful person in the world, what good will it do him when it comes to the judgment if he forgot about Jesus Christ? Profit is not all about money.
to a Christian. For we as Christians, we all understand that our money will not be able to go to the grave with us. Our money will never be worth what heaven has to offer. For those who love the Lord, life is short. But I tell you, eternity is far too long to spend it in a burning hell. It's not too late for us to remember the words of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16 and verse number 17. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If you are godly and you serve the true God, I'll tell you there's profit in serving God and being godliness. Having godliness in you can make you make your life much better on this side of life. But then when it comes to dying, and I don't like to talk about death like the rest of us, but we must, because death is coming. And somebody might think, well, preacher, just what if I get by death? What if I escape death? What if death doesn't hit me? Well, I'd like for you to show me the text in the Bible that says that you are not going to die. Because I found one, an old familiar one that you all know. Just go to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27. I won't even quote it for you, because if you are a Bible student, you know what it says already. Now that tells me that we are all going to die. And I'll tell you something. After death, it tells me what's going to happen also. And if you think that you can get by, then the Bible must be lying. And I read somewhere that it is impossible for God to lie. And somebody said, well, preacher, I can get off of that one, because God didn't write the Bible. It was written by man, but it was written by inspired men. God inspired them to write the words in His Bible. What's written by man is the new versions that have been interpreted. And that's okay, because we need to learn to speak like we speak. We need to learn to understand what God's Word has in store for us. But is it profitable to exercise your body and not exercise your soul? I don't think so. Godliness is profitable. And if you want to live right, you got to be godly. And if you want to die right, you must be godly. If you want to get up right, you must have godliness in you. And somebody will say, well, preacher, I think that I live right. I think that I'm godly. I think that I have the Spirit of the Lord in me. I think that if I do all right in this world, I'll have a good chance with God in the next world. Well, if you try to live in this world without God, you may have to live in the next world without Him also. You can't live your life raggedy in this world and think God is going to reward you for it. It's just not happening. And with that, somebody asked, well, preacher, I want to get closer to the Lord. How do I get closer to the Lord? Well, you need to come to Him first. How do I come to Him? If you've never been to the Lord, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you've already been close to Him, but you lost your walk, come back. Ask the Lord to forgive you and come forward and ask the church to pray for you. And I find that many folk don't like to come forward and ask the church to pray for them. Well, I read somewhere where if you are ashamed to admit to God before men, then He'll be ashamed to admit to you before His Father. So you need to think about that. What's wrong with coming forward asking the church to pray for you? Now, I can't promise you that everybody in this church can pray for you and get a prayer up through, but I can tell you this. Somebody in here can get a prayer through. I just believe that. And if you need to ask...